Amen. God's so good. He's so good. Who's ready for a religious experience tonight? Or who's ready to be changed? Did you come just to go through the motions, or did you come to receive something from the Holy Spirit tonight? Because God's going to do something. I've got 15 minutes, but I'm only going to need 7 because Dan already did half. Hey guys, do they stay or do they go? Or hey, you guys can go sit down because you've been standing for a long time. I can't preach at this church without Jacob though. I need him. We're a two-man team. I like him to play. Awesome. Had this mad joke for my opening Bible verse. Hey guys, you can grab a seat. Had this mad joke for my opening Bible verse, but then you went and read the same Bible verse, so my joke won't work, Dan. I'm disappointed. It's cool. I love to have fun in church. I love it. I will read the same Bible verse. Just from the start. It's Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And to be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love this Bible verse. I love it. I love the commission. I love the responsibility. I love what Jesus has commanded us to do. You know, we've got such an amazing opportunity to do something great for God. I love when Jesus said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus says to us, you know, I own it, I rule it, I'm the king of it. Now you go and do something about it. You know, we can take confidence to know that Jesus is in control of everything around us. He has all authority in heaven and on this earth. So we can take great confidence into walking into life knowing that Jesus is the king of it. Not the devil, not someone else, not your best friend, but Jesus is the king and he has authority over everything. But the good news is he said, anything you ask in my name, I'll give to you. So he's got all the authority. And then he said, just use my name and do whatever you want. So we've got nothing that can hold us back from changing this world. There's nothing that can stop us from making a difference and making disciples of all the nations. We've been asked by Jesus to go into all the world, make disciples. And when I think about going into all the world, immediately my mind shifts over to the other side of the world. That's what I think when it says going to all the world. But as Dan already said tonight, I want to bring our focus a little bit closer to home tonight, because where does the rest of the world begin? It begins outside your front doorstep. The start of the ends of the world is right here where we are right now. And you know, we're talking about shift the mission, and I'd love us to shift our focus to right here where we are in our worlds right now tonight. Because there's so many people right here that need us. Right outside our front doorstep, outside the walls of this church, outside your homes, there are people that are in desperate need of Jesus. Matthew 22:37-40 says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two things. So while there's so many laws and there's so many rules and regulations that are in the Bible, all we have to do is two of them to make them all. All we have to do is love God and love people. Everything else then is taken care of. We don't have to worry about being religious and getting this right and doing this, that, and the other. Because if we do those two things, it says that the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two things. That's all we've got to do is love God and love people. You see, our Christian lives are only about us for a small portion of time. When we first get saved and we become a Christian and we're discovering our place in the kingdom and getting our relationship with God established, our Christian life is about us and getting ourselves right and ready to live a life for Jesus. But when we've found that place, our life then needs to be about others. He didn't say love the Lord your God with all your heart and love yourself and make sure you have a great life. He said, love me, get in a relationship with me, establish your feet in the kingdom, and then go and love everyone else. And when you look at the life of Jesus, that's all he did. He did two things. Well, he did three things. He was a mad dog, bad boy, miracle-making dude. You know, he was out there raising the dead and healing people. And I would just love to have been in the presence of the Jesus when he was walking on the earth. I know he's here right now, but I would have loved to have been alive at some point in those 3 years just to see him casting out demons with a word. It would have been so inspiring. But aside from that, all Jesus did was had a perfect relationship with the Father. He loved God with all his heart, with all his soul and all his strength. He was God, surrendered it all to walk on the earth. He loved God with all his heart and he loved other people. You know, he was raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out demons, but he only did that stuff because of his amazing love that he had for other people. He wasn't doing it for show. He wasn't doing it for no reason. He was doing it because it would set people free because of his great love for other people. We got to find love for people. We live in a world full of desperate and hurting people. Right now, those people, they sit opposite you at work. They sit opposite you at school. When we walk out of here tonight and we go get some dinner at McDonald's, you're walking into a restaurant full of hurting and broken people. When we walk down the streets, we're surrounded by hurting and broken people. They're sitting in hospital beds right now. They're sitting in rehab clinics all around us. Broken and hurting people that need the love and the name of Jesus. And he's told us to go into all the world. We have to shift the focus to a mission focus, an outward focus, not an inward focus. It's got to be about other people. Our lives has to be about other people. The love that we have for God is only any good if it's reflected in our love for the world. If it's just about us, then what's the point? It's got to be about other people. About 3 hours ago, I was at Legs and Breasts getting some chicken and chips. And I was chatting to the girl there who was serving me, and she went to my youth group about 2 times. She used it as an excuse to go to a party down the road and get drunk, and then she'd come back at the end of the night, and her parents thought she was at youth group, but she was there at least, and I got to talk to her, and I remember I was telling her, she goes, "Oh, do you remember when I used to do that?" I said, "Yeah, I remember, because my wife had to look after you one night when you didn't even know who you were." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, how long ago was that?" And we were just chatting, and I was like, "What school do you go to again?" She's like, "Oh, I go to MacKillop." I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's crazy, you know. A couple of weeks ago at MacKillop High School, and in the last 2 months, 2 young people have killed themselves, taken their own lives at that school. And I started chatting to her about it, saying, you know, how was the school affected by that? Because this kid, he was a likable kid. He had a lot of friends, just suddenly for no reason, just took his own life. And I asked her how the school handled that. And she looked at me and she had tears in her eyes and she goes, "Oh, it was just total devastation." That's what she said to me. She goes, "Oh, it was just total devastation." She goes, "I walked into school that morning and no one was smiling. No one was happy. People were just walking down the corridor and then they'd just start crying." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, this world is so hurting. This world is so broken." Not even on the other side of the world, but right here where we are, there are people that desperately need Jesus. There are people that desperately need Jesus. And I heard her telling me about these kids that were so upset and so broken. And I've got kids in my youth ministry who have been so affected by what's happened. And I've been talking and trying to bring some understanding and trust in God through this hard time. But I just find myself getting so angry at this suicide. And I've got to say, as Christians, we can't tolerate suicide anymore. We can't tolerate sickness and disease anymore. I'm not going to put up with the devil having a foothold in people's lives. It's our job and it's our responsibility. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, not the devil. And it's our time, Christians, to rise up and take back what the devil has stolen and rise up and make disciples of all nations so that suicide and sickness and disease doesn't run riot in our schools and in our streets and in our lives. But the name of Jesus brings healing and restoration. We've got to rise up. We've got to shift the focus to mission, to outward, to others, to loving our people that they might live in freedom. Just want to encourage you with a Bible verse that has meant so much to me. This Bible verse has probably shaped and molded my Christian journey more than any other Bible verse. And it's Luke 19:41. And it's the disciples are entering into Jerusalem. And Jesus is hanging out with them. They probably just were doing miracles and hanging out. I'd love to have been there. But it goes, now as the disciples came closer to Jerusalem, Jesus saw the city ahead and he began to weep over it. As Jesus walked into the city, as he came over the hill, as he looked down into Jerusalem, he saw it and he began to weep over it. His heart began to break for it. I'm sure he started thinking about all the people in the cities, and he goes on in woe saying, oh, Jerusalem, when are you going to get it? Why can't you understand it? The time is now. I'm right here. Why can't you see it? And his heart literally broke and he wept over a city. And I remember when I first read this verse when I was 18, when I first got saved 5 years ago, and this verse just rocked me. And I used to go to a place in Lauderdale. My mum used to live near the beach, and I used to walk up the hill at the end of the road and used to look down over Lauderdale. And I remember standing there just listening to worship music, and I just used to look over Lauderdale and I just used to pray for it, and I used to weep over it. And in those moments when I was just praying, looking over a city, God broke my heart for it. I used to go up the mountain, up Mount Wellington, and just stand there just by myself and just look over a city and just see how much God loves it. See how many broken people are living in it, but how desperate their need is for Jesus. And God's given you all authority in heaven and on earth to go and make a difference in this world. But we can't make a difference in this city until the people matter to us. They've got to be more than just faces. They've got to be more than just distant stories. People have to mean something to us. We've got to look at the screens and see images of people, and they've got to not just flash on by. They've got to do something to us. They've got to move us. We have to see a city and we have to weep over it, because God's heart breaks for it. And when we understand his heart for the city, we can't help but do something about it. And tonight I'm praying that God will break your heart for a friend that you know, for a family member that you've got, for a city that you live in. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit wants to break your heart tonight so that you can go out into all the world with the authority that Jesus has given you and change a city. Can you say amen? You know, Pastor Dave was telling me that you're not too far away from starting a service in your Norfolk, and what an amazing opportunity to step out and do something to help other people. What an awesome opportunity to be a part of something that's going to impact people's lives. You're here tonight. I pray that God really puts a burning passion in your heart for New Norfolk. And Dan's doing it. I just want to commend you for the job you're doing up there, man, and the young people that you're reaching in. I saw you drive in, man. I saw you driving in the bus, and I saw it had no kids in it. And my heart broke for you. And I saw you up the front. You looked at Brian, and I assumed that it was going to bring some kids here, but there was none on it. But it's the start of the journey, man. That bus is going to be full of young people. If you're faithful, if you're diligent, if you just work hard, if you pray for them, if you weep over them, if you pray for them, the buses are going to be full of people. You know, nothing wrecks me more than when there's a particular person that was so excited that was going to come to youth and they don't make it. But we've just got to be faithful, you know. We'll reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. The buses are going to be full. Just want to encourage you with that. You're doing an awesome job. We've just got to be so outward focused on other people. We've just got to allow God to break our heart for this world. Got to allow ourselves to be moved. I know life sometimes gets tough. I know we've all got stuff that we have to deal with. I'll probably have more stuff to deal with than anyone else. I'm messed up, seriously. But my heart breaks for people. I just love people. Every time I go into a high school and I just get to smile at a kid, just makes my heart just jump with joy, because God, once upon a time, he broke my heart for it, and it's never been the same. And even if the whole world fell apart, I would have no other choice. I'd still have to serve Jesus, even if I didn't want to, because I know what he did for me. And I know my heart's broken. I know it's broken forever. And my mum, I think I said last time, she's battling cancer right now. I've had so much stuff to deal with this year that I've never had to before. You know, my Christian journey was so easy and so fun till this year, and it just got real difficult all of a sudden. You know how everything just happens at once? So frustrating when that happens. I know people here can say amen, because we're all Christians, and that's how life works, but we just got to keep on going. Even when life is tough for you, it's always still tough for someone else. But you have the answer of eternal life in you. If I could just ask you to close your eyes. I don't want to miss an opportunity. And I don't know if you're here tonight and your relationship with God has been distant. And you've been far away from Him. Or maybe you've never even been in that relationship before. Maybe tonight you just want to recommit yourself. Or maybe tonight you want to start that relationship. Maybe if I could just ask you to lift your hand in the air so I can pray for you. That's awesome. But I've been praying this afternoon, and I know that God just wants to break some people's hearts for their city. I know God wants to break some people's hearts for others. I know God wants to shift some focus to outward, not inward. And maybe you've been living life and it's hard to be focused on other people with all that's going on around you, but I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you tonight and just get your eyes lifted to see the harvest field that is around you that is ready to be brought in. If tonight you just want me to include you in a prayer and then I invite you to come up the front for a time of ministry and allow God to break in you that same spirit that He had when He came and looked over the city of Jerusalem and He broke for it. If you want God to break your heart for people tonight, why don't you just slip your hand up in the air so I can pray for you? You want to be a person that can go out into all the world with the authority that Jesus has given you? If you want people to mean more to you now than what they did when you came in, I just want you to lift your hand in the air so I can include you in a prayer. And then we're going to worship God and He's going to do something that's going to be awesome. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? If that was you, if you want me to include you in that prayer, why don't you just lift your hands to heaven and I'm going to pray and then the team's going to worship and then we'll do whatever happens next. But God, I just thank you so much for your power. I thank you so much for your love and your grace. I thank you for the compassion and the mercy and the love that you have for a broken and hurting world. And right now, over every hand raised, over every heart open, I declare and I pray that you would break them for people. I pray that your heart of compassion and your heart of love would meld into ours, that we would become one like you, Jesus, that we would live and move and breathe and have our being with the same heart that you did for this world, that we would look at a city and weep over it, that we would look over young people and break for them, God, that we would look over our workplaces, that our hearts would just melt and cry out for the people that don't know you, God. I pray that as a people in your presence tonight, you would move us to a place of action, you would move us to a place of mission, you would move us to a place where we'll change our worlds and where they'd never be the same again. And I just declare, Holy Spirit, right now you touch people. I pray, power of God, that you'll be here in a mighty way. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now you'll break people's hearts in Jesus' name. I declare, Holy Spirit, that this moment be significant in eternity and that from this moment forward, this world will be changed in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship God tonight. Let's worship God tonight.